Welcome to DOT, Daily Oral Theology. I'm Chuck Meether. Today, we look at relativism. Relativism is the view that truth is relative and not absolute. It varies from people to people, time to time. Relativism can be best captured with this phrase, "You do you, and I do me." The problem, though, is you can't do you because it will mess with my me. There cannot be harmony, there cannot be peace, when there is a different perception of what truth is. There is no genuine peace outside of truth that is based on God's word. But because people so hate God's word and despise the truth, they in fact wag the finger and point to Christians and accuse them of hate speech. And there lies in the irony. You do you, but don't mess with my me. But what if the my me opposes the truth of God's word? Are we not called out as a church to speak the truth, but speak it in love? That doesn't mean deny the truth. That doesn't mean to compromise the truth. That does not mean to round the corners of sharp doctrine. That means to speak that which is contained in God's holy word. Even amongst so-called professing Christians, there are differences in interpretation, and that shocks no one. But because of lifestyles, such as same-sex relationships, are so prevalent today, the broader church, and I use the word church loosely, seeks to adapt to the cultural climate of the day. Why make the Christian faith so divisive? And so one way of doing this is to massage the truth, which then becomes no truth at all. For example, the Apostle Paul, when he says in 1 Corinthians 6:9, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality." And then in verse 10, "Nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." So when Paul mentions that those who practice homosexuality are not going to inherit the kingdom of God, those who, quote unquote, profess the Christian faith and still hold to the belief that same-sex relationships are approved by God, claim one of two things. One, homosexuality thrown in with adulterers is really about those who don't practice monogamy, who are not faithful to one partner, but in fact have sexual relationships with many. So this is not an indictment against homosexuals. Others will say, well, in that context, in that time, homosexuality was considered grievous to some people. But today, because we have evolved in our understanding of human relationships, that's no longer the case. So we can look at relativism in a philosophical sense, but the danger in the church is that more and more so-called Christians are trying to redefine what the Holy Spirit, through human writers, have declared in order to accommodate a changing world. So if you follow that to its logical conclusion, then what about the word is absolute? You do you, but don't mess with my me. Except, I can't do me because it will mess with your you. And we don't have a choice in the matter. If we're going to be walking epistles, we have to speak and live the truth. And the truth is not relative. It is not changing. The Apostle John says in his first epistle, "If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." Darkness is theological relativism. In John 18, we have this discourse, and Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And so Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, 'The righteous shall live by faith.' For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. And so there lies the pit of relativism. Many an ugly face arises from relativism, but the ugliest is that countenance which hates the word of God and so pursues the lie and then contends the lie is the truth. You do you, but don't mess with my me. That's relativism.